Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of The Haunted Mask by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. It is close to impossible to record this right now because there is a kitten in the other room that is younger than adoption age that the girlfriend Kelly found outside 6 days ago, and it was in the cold, or San Diego cold, so it was like 50 degrees, which is, you know, wearing pants inside weather, which is fucking cold. And we've decided to keep the little kitten. It's probably only 5 or 6 weeks old. It's adorable, and I could be playing with it, but no, I have the due diligence. I must record Dune Reads Goosebumps because it's been almost a month that I've completed, a month since I completed part one of The Haunted Mask. Two quick shout outs. One to Giovanni Giorgino, if you're listening. He hosts what is my favorite podcast right now, which is the Get It On podcast, which is him with a little bit of commentary and then an interview at the end, but it's spliced together clips of that are kind of correlate to one another from the greatest run of radio ever, which was the Adam Carolla years of Loveline. So, you know, check that out. You know, I'm just pandering. And then the other one is to the subreddit that I created that is the greatest thing in the world, which is the subreddit Crippling Alcoholism. So check it out. Or don't. Whatever. Hi, kitten! She couldn't hear. It's just Franklin could hear. He was kind of pissed that I'm talking to the kitten. Anyway, Chapter 15. I'll chew her to bits. I'll tear her skin off her bones. Furious thoughts raged through Carly Best's mind. She tensed her muscles, crouched low, and prepared to pounce. But before she could make her move, the two boys pulled their mother away. Let's go, Mom. Yeah, let's go. She's crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. The word repeated, roaring through Carly Best's mind. The mass grew hotter, tighter. The woman gave Carly Beth one last cold stare. Then she turned and led the two boys down the driveway. Carly Beth stared after them, panting loudly. She had a strong urge to chase after them, to really scare them. But a loud cry made her stop and spin around. Sabrina stood on the front stoop, leaning on the storm door, her mouth open in a wide O of surprise.
Who's there?
She cried, squinting into the darkness. Like a Vietnamese person, Sabrina was dressed as Catwoman, with a silver and gray catsuit beneath a silver mask. Her black hair was pulled tightly behind her. Her dark eyes stared intently at Carly Beth.
Don't you recognize me?
Carly Beth rasped, stepping closer. She could see the fright in Sabrina's eyes. Sabrina gripped the door handle tightly, standing half in and half out of her house.
Don't you recognize me, Sabrina?
She waved the head on the broomstick as if giving her friend a clue. Sabrina gasped and raised her hand to her mouth as she noticed the head on the pole.
Carly Beth, is that you?
She stammered. Her eyes darted from the mask to the head, then back again.
Hi, Sabrina,
Carly Beth growled.
It's me.
Sabrina continued to study her. That mask, she cried finally. It's excellent. Really excellent. It's so scary.
I like your cat suit,
Carly Beth told her, stepping closer into the light. Sabrina's eyes were raised to the top of the broomstick. That head, it's so real. Where did you get it?
It's my real head,
Carly Beth joked.
I'm probably only going to be able to record like 10 pages of this if I keep doing that voice. It burns the hell out of my throat, but it's so worth it.
Doesn't it add a creepy spooky effect? Sabrina continued to stare at it. Carly Beth, when I first saw it,
my mom made it,
Carly Beth told her,
in her art class.
I thought it was a real head, Sabrina said, shivering. The eyes, the way they stare at you. Carly Beth shook the broomstick, making the head nod. Sabrina studied Carly Beth's mask. Wait till Chuck and Steve see your costume. I can't wait, Carly Beth thought darkly.
Where are they?
She demanded, glancing back to the street. Steve called, Sabrina replied. He said they'd be late. He has to take his little sister trick-or-treating before he can meet us. Carly Beth sighed, disappointed. That's a monster sigh.
We'll start without them, Sabrina suggested. They can catch up to us later.
Yeah, okay,
Carly Beth replied. I'll go get my coat and we can go, Sabrina said. She took one last lingering look at the head on the broomstick. Then the storm door slammed shut with a bang as she disappeared inside to get her coat. The wind picked up as the two girls made their way down the block. Dead leaves swirled at their feet. The bare trees bent and shivered. Above the dark sloping roofs, the pale half moon slipped in and out of the clouds. With the old in out, Sabrina chatted about all the problems she had with her costume. The first cat suit she bought had a long run in one leg and had to be returned. Then Sabrina couldn't find a cat-eyed mask that looked right. Carly Beth remained quiet. She couldn't hide her disappointment that Chuck and Steve hadn't met them as planned. What if they never catch up to us? She wondered. What if they don't see how fucking terrifying I am? The whole point of the night, as far as Carly Beth was concerned, was meeting the two boys and scaring the shit out of them. Sabrina had given her a shopping bag to put her candy in. As they walked, Carly Beth gripped the bag in one hand, struggling to keep the head balanced on the pole in her other hand. So, where did you buy your mask? Your mother didn't make it, did she? Did you go to that new party store? Can I touch it? Sabrina always talked a lot, but tonight she was going for the world's record of nonstop chatter. I bet she was. Yappity yappity yap. Carly Beth obediently stopped so that her friend could touch the mask. Sabrina pressed her fingers against the cheek, then instantly jerked them back. Oh, it feels like skin. Carly Beth laughed. A scornful laugh she had never heard before. Yuck, what's it made of? Probably some like polycarbon or something, Sabrina demanded. It isn't skin, is it? It's like a rubber or something, right? Is it a latex base? Am I allergic to those? I have to use the goat skin condoms, I guess, Carly Beth muttered. Then how come it's so warm? Sabrina asked. It's uncomfortable to wear. You must be sweating like a pig. Feeling a surge of rage, Carly Beth dropped the bag and the broomstick. Shut up, shut up, shut up, she snarled. Then, with an angry howl, she grabbed Sabrina's throat with both hands and began to choke her. Chapter 16. It's the motherfucking chapter 16. Sabrina uttered a shocked cry and staggered back, pulling herself from Carly Beth's grip. Carly Beth, she muttered. What is happening to me? Carly Beth wondered, gaping in horror at her friend. What did I just do?
Gotcha, Carly Beth exclaimed. She laughed. You should have seen the look on your face, Sabrina. Did you think I was really choking you?
Sabrina rubbed her neck with one silver-gloved hand. Like Michael Jackson, she frowned at her friend. That was a joke? You scared me to death. Carly Beth laughed again.
Just keeping in character, she said lightly, pointing to her mask. You know, trying to get in the right mood. I like scaring people. You know, usually I'm the one who's trembling in fright.
She picked up the bag and broomstick, fixing the plaster of Paris head on the top. Then she hurried up the nearest driveway toward a well-lit house with a Happy Halloween banner in the front window. Does Sabrina believe it was just a joke? Carly Beth asked herself as she raised her shopping bag and rang the doorbell. What on earth was I doing? Why did I suddenly get so angry? Why did I attack my best friend like that? Sabrina stepped up beside her as the front door was pulled open. Two little blonde kids, a boy and a girl, appeared in the doorway. Their mother stepped up behind them.
Trick-or-treat!
That was me doing the Carly Beth and Sabrina calling out trick-or-treat in unison, but I was trying to do the, like, Sabrina, like, trick-or-treat! And Carly Beth, like, trick-or-treat! But, you know, it didn't go well. Maybe I'll double it up in post. And by that, I mean I'm just gonna trudge forward and never think about this again. Oh, that's a scary mask, the woman said to her two children, grinning at Carly Beth. What are you supposed to be, a cat? The little boy asked Sabrina. Sabrina meowed at him.
Meow,
I'm Catwoman, she told him. I don't like the other one, the little girl exclaimed to her mother. It's too scary. It's just a funny mask, the mother assured her daughter. Too scary, it's scaring me, the little girl insisted. Carly Beth leaned into the entryway of the house, bringing her grotesque face close to the little girl.
I'll eat you up,
she growled nastily. The little girl screamed and disappeared into the house. Her brother stared wide-eyed at Carly Beth. The mother quickly dropped candy bars into the girl's bags. You shouldn't have scared her, she said softly. She has nightmares. Instead of apologizing, Carly Beth turned into the little boy.
I'll eat you up, too.
She snarled, hey, stop. Seriously. What's your
mother's number? I'm going to call her. I'm that kind of woman. Remember when you're a kid and someone's like, I'm going to call your parents. And you're like, fuck. Like, that was like the worst thing that could happen. Maybe I was just a bitch. Probably because I was just a bitch. The woman protested.
Carly Beth laughed, a deep-throated laugh, jumped off the porch, and then took off across the front lawn. Scamper, scamper. Why'd you do that? Sabrina asked as they made their way across the street. Why do you scare those little kids like that?
The mask made me do it,
Carly Beth replied. She meant it as a joke, but the thought troubled her mind. At the next few houses, Carly Beth hung back and let Sabrina do the talking. At one house, a middle-aged man in a torn blue sweater pretended to be scared of Carly Beth's mask. His wife insisted that the girls come inside so they could show their elderly mother the great costumes. That is creepy and would not fly in 2010. Carly Beth groaned loudly, but followed Sabrina into the house. The old woman gazed at them blankly from her wheelchair. Carly Beth growled at her, but it didn't appear to make any impression. On the way out the door, the man in the torn sweater handed each girl a green apple. Fuck! Carly Beth waited till they're down the sidewalk. Then she turned, pulled back her arm, and heaved the apple at the man's house with all her might. It made a loud thunk as it smacked against the shingled front wall near the front door.
I really hate getting apples on Halloween, Carly Beth declared, especially green ones.
Carly Beth, I'm worried about you, Sabrina cried, eyeing her friend with concern. You're not acting like you at all.
No, I'm not a pitiful, frightened little mouse tonight, Carly Beth thought bitterly.
Give me that, she ordered Sabrina,
and grabbed Sabrina's apple from her bag.
Hey, stop it,
Sabrina protested, but Carly Beth arched her arm and tossed Sabrina's apple at the house. It clanged noisily as it hit the aluminum gutter. The man in the torn sweater poked his head out the door.
Hey, what's the big idea?
Run,
Carly Beth screamed. The two girls took off, running at full speed down the block. They didn't stop until the house was out of sight. Sabrina grabbed Carly Beth's shoulders and held on, struggling to catch her breath.
You crazy, she gasped. You really crazy.
It takes one to know one,
Carly Beth said playfully, completely out of context, and for some reason they both laughed. Takes one to know.
When in Rome.
Carly Beth searched the block looking for Chuck and Steve. She saw a small group of costumed kids huddled together at the corner, but no sign of the boys. Smaller houses jammed closer together lined the two sides of the block.
Let's split up,
Carly Beth suggested, leaning against the broomstick.
We'll get more candy that way.
How's that logic work out?
Sabrina frowned at her friend, eyeing her suspiciously. Carly Beth, you don't even like candy, she exclaimed.
I would like to point out right now how seamlessly I just read past the word mend. Sabrina frowned at her, capital M-E-N-D. But no, you guys didn't even notice until I pointed it out. I need credit for that. You know, I just seamlessly went past it.
But Carly Beth was already running up the driveway to the first house, her sculpted head bobbing wildly above her on its broomstick. This is my night, Carly Beth thought, accepting a candy bar from the smiling woman who answered the door. My night! She felt a tingle of excitement she'd never felt before, and a strange feeling she couldn't describe. A hunger. A few minutes later, her shopping bag started to feel heavy. She came to the end of the block. She hesitated on the corner, trying to decide whether to go to the other side of the street or to go on to the next block. It was very dark there, she realized. The moon had once again disappeared behind dark clouds. The corner streetlight was out, probably burned out.
Across the street, four very young trick-or-treaters were giggling as they approached a house with a jack-o'-lantern on the porch. Carly Beth sank into the darkness. She heard voices. Boys' voices. Chuck and Steve? No. The voices were unfamiliar. They were arguing about where to trick-or-treat next. One of them wanted to go home and call a friend. How about a little scare for you guys? Carly Beth thought, a smile spreading across her stupid face. How about something to remember this Halloween night? She waited, listening. Until they were a few feet away, she could see them now, two mummies, their faces wrapped in gauze. Closer, closer. She waited for the perfect moment. Then she burst from the shadows, uttering an angry animal howl that shattered the air. The two boys gasped and jumped back. Hey! One of them tried to shout, but his voice caught in his throat. The other one dropped his bag of candy. As he started to pick it up, Carly Beth moved quickly. She grabbed the bag from his hand, jerked it away from him, and started to run. Come back! That's mine! Hey! Their voices were high and shrill, filled with fear and surprise. As she ran across the street, Carly Beth glanced back to see if they were following her. No! They were too frightened. They stood huddled together in the corner, shouting after her. Holding the stolen candy bag tightly in her free hand, Carly Beth tossed back her head and laughed. A cruel laugh. A triumphant laugh. Most triumphant. A laugh she had never heard before. She emptied the boy's candy into her own bag, then tossed his bag onto the ground. Fuck littering fines. She felt good, really strong, and ready for more. Come on, Chuck and Steve, she thought. It's your turn next.
Chapter 17.
Carly Beth found Chuck and Steve a few minutes later. They were across the street from her, standing in the light of someone's driveway, examining the contents of their trick-or-treat bags. Carly Beth ducked behind the wide trunk of an old tree near the sidewalk. Her heart began to pound as she spied on them. Neither boy had bothered to put on a real costume. Chuck had a red bandana tied around his head and a black mask over his eyes. Steve had blackened his cheeks and forehead with big smudges and wore an old tennis hat and a torn raincoat. What's a tennis hat? Is he supposed to be a bum? Carly Beth wondered. She watched them sift through their bags. They had been out for quite a while, she saw. Their bags appeared pretty full. Suddenly, Steve glanced up in her direction. Carly Beth jerked her head back behind the tree trunk. Had he seen her? No. Don't blow it now, she told herself. You've waited so long for this moment. You've waited so long to pay them back for all the scares. Carly Beth watched the two boys make their way up to the front porch in the next house. Nearly tripping over the broomstick, she darted away from the tree. She ran across the street and ducked low behind a hedge. When they came back down the drive, I'll leap out. When they come back down the drive, I'll leap out. I'll pounce on them. I'll scare them to death, she thought. The low hedge smelled piney and sweet. It was still wet from the morning's rain. The wind made the leaves tremble. What was the strange whistling sound? It took Carly Beth a while to realize it was her own breathing. She suddenly began to have doubts. This wasn't going to work, she thought, crouching lower behind the trembling hedge. I'm a complete jerk. Chuck and Steve aren't going to be scared by a stupid mask. I'm going to jump out of them, and they're going to laugh at me, just like they always laugh at me. They're going to laugh and say, oh, hi, Carly Beth, looking good, or something like that. Why do they always have to laugh at me? And they'll tell everyone at school how I thought I was so scared. And how they recognize me immediately and what a total jerk I am. And everyone will have a good laugh at my expense. Why did I ever think this would work? What made me think it was such a hot idea? Crouched behind the hedge, Carly Beth could feel her anger grow. Anger at herself, anger at the two boys. Her face felt burning hot inside the ugly mask. Her heart thudded loudly. Her rapid breath whistled against the flat nose. Chuck and Steve were approaching. She could hear their sneakers crunch over the gravel driveway. Carly Beth tensed her leg muscles and prepared to pounce. Okay, she thought, taking a deep breath. Here goes.
that's actually, maybe it was supposed to say here it goes, but I like the random English.
Take a deep breath. Here goes.
Chapter 18.
It all seemed to happen in slow motion. The two boys moved slowly past the hedge. They were talking excitedly to each other. But to Carly Beth, their voices seemed low and far away. She pulled herself up, stepping out from the hedge, and screamed at the top of her lungs. Even in the dim light, she could see their reactions. Clearly, their eyes went wide, their mouths dropped open, their hands shot up above their heads. Steve cried out. Chuck grabbed the sleeve of Steve's coat. Carly Beth's scream echoed over the dark front lawn. The sound seemed to hover in the air. Everything moved so slowly, Carly Beth could see Chuck's eyebrows quiver. She could see his chin tremble. She could see the fear shimmer in Steve's eyes as they moved from her mask to the head on the broomstick. She waved the broomstick menacingly. Steve uttered a frightened whimper. Chuck gaped at Carly Beth, his frightened eyes locked on hers. "Carly Beth, is that you?" He finally managed to choke out. Carly Beth uttered an animal growl, but didn't reply. "Who are you?" Steve demanded, his voice trembling. It's Carly Beth, I think," Chuck told him. "Is it you in there, Carly Beth?" Steve let out a tense laugh. "You scared us." "Carly Beth? Is it you?" Chuck demanded again. Carly Beth waved the broomstick. She pointed up to the head. "That's Carly Beth's head," she told them. Her voice was deep, throaty. It was a deep, throaty rasp. "Huh?" Both boys gazed up at it uncertainly.
"That's Carly Beth's head,"
she repeated slowly, waving it toward them. The painted eyes of the sculpted face appeared to glare down at them.
"Poor Carly Beth didn't want to give up her head tonight, but I took it anyway."
Both boys stared up at the head. Chuck continued to grip Steve's coat sleeve. Steve uttered another tense laugh. He stared at Carly Beth, his expression confused.
"You're Carly Beth, right? How are you making that weird voice?"
"That's your friend, Carly Beth,"
she growled, pointing up to the head on the broomstick.
"That's all that's left of her."
Chuck swallowed hard. His eyes were trained on the bobbing head. Steve stared intently at Carly Beth's mask.
"Hand over your candy,"
Carly Beth snarled, surprised by the vicious tone in her voice.
"Huh?"
Steve cried.
"Hand it over now, or I'll put your heads on the stick."
Both boys laughed, shrill giggles.
"I'm not joking,"
Carly Beth roared. Her angry words cut their laughter short.
"Carly Beth, give us a break,"
Chuck muttered uncertainly, his eyes still narrowed in fear.
"Yeah, really,"
Steve said softly.
"Hand over your bags,"
Carly Beth insisted coldly,
"or your heads will adorn my stick."
She lowered the broomstick toward them menacingly. As she lowered it, all three of them stared up at the dark-eyed face. All three of them studied the frozen face, the face that looked so real, that looked so much like Carly Beth Caldwell. A sudden breeze swirled around them, making the head bob on the stick. And then, all three of them saw the eyes blink. Once, twice. The brown eyes blinked, and the lips on the head parted, making a dry scraping sound. Frozen in horror, Carly Beth stared up at the face along with the two boys, and all three of them saw the lips move and heard the dry crackling sound. All three of them saw the dark lips squeeze together, then part. All three of them saw the bobbing head form the silent words, "Help me. Help me." Chapter 19. Bourbon and Diet Dr. Pepper. In her horror, Carly Beth let go of the broomstick and hit the ground beside Chuck. The head rolled under the hedge. It talked, Steve cried. Chuck uttered a low whimper. Without another word, both boys dropped their candy bags and took the fuck off, their sneakers thudding loudly on the sidewalk. The wind swirled around Carly Beth as if it was holding her in place. She felt like tossing her head back and howling. She felt like tearing off her coat and flying through the night. She felt like climbing a tree, leaping onto a roof, roaring up in the starless black sky. She stood frozen for a long moment, letting the wind sweep around her, The boys were gone. They fled in terror. Terror! Carly Beth had succeeded. She had scared them nearly to death. She knew she'd never forget the horrified looks on their faces, the fear and disbelief that glowed in their eyes. And she would never forget her feeling of triumph, the thrilling sweetness of revenge. For a brief moment, she realized she had felt fear too. She had imagined that the head on the stick had come to life, had blinked its eyes, and had spoken silently to them. For a brief moment, she had caught the fear. She had fallen under the spell of her own trickery. But of course, the head hadn't come alive, she assured herself now. Of course the lips hadn't moved, hadn't made their silent plea. Help me. Help me. It had to be the shadows, she knew. Shadows cast by the light of the moon, floating out from behind the shifting black clouds. Where was the head? Where was the broomstick she had dropped? It didn't matter now. There was no longer any use. Come on, Dune, get it together. I know you're spooked out. They were no longer any use to her. Carly Beth had won her own victory, and now she was running wildly over the front lawns, jumping over shrubs and hedges, flying over the dark, hard ground. She was running blindly, the houses whirring past on both sides. The blustery wind swirled, and she swirled with it, rising over the sidewalks, rushing through tall weeds, blowing with the wind like a helpless leaf. Holding her bulging candy bag, she ran past startled trick-or-treaters, past glowing pumpkins, past rattling skeletons, past perverts and vans, gaping at the children. She ran until her breath gave out. Then she stopped, panting loudly, and shut her eyes, waiting for her heart to stop pounding, for the blood to stop pulsing in her temples. And a hand grabbed her shoulder roughly from behind. Chapter 20. Startled, Carly Beth shrieked and spun around. Sabrina, she cried breathlessly. Grinning, Sabrina let go of her shoulder. I've been looking for you for hours, Sabrina scolded. Where did you go?
I guess I got lost, Carly Beth replied, still struggling to catch her breath.
One minute you were there, the next minute you disappeared, Sabrina said, adjusting her mask over the dark hair.
That's way too much stuttering for effect.
How'd you do?
Carly Beth asked, trying to speak in her normal voice. I ripped my cat suit, Sabrina complained, frowning. She pulled at the lycra material on one leg to show Carly Beth. Snagged it on a stupid mailbox. God, I hate the United States Postal Service.
Bad news,
Carly Beth sympathized. Did you scare anyone with that mask? Sabrina demanded, still fingering the tear in the cat suit leg. Yeah, I can just go past that verb and I don't have to make a cough. Fuck.
Yeah, a few kids, Carly Beth replied casually.
It is really gross, Sabrina said.
That's why I picked it.
They both laughed. Did you get a lot of candy? Sabrina asked. She picked up Carly Beth's bag and looked inside. Wow, what a haul.
I hit a lot of houses, Carly Beth said.
Let's go back to my house and check out the loot, Sabrina suggested.
Yeah, okay.
Carly Beth followed her friend across the street. Unless you want to trick-or-treat some more, Sabrina offered, stopping in the middle of the street.
No, I've done enough,
Carly Beth said. She laughed to herself.
I did everything I wanted to do tonight, she thought to herself.
They started walking again. They were walking against the wind, but Carly Beth didn't feel a chill at all. The girls and two girls in frilly dresses, their faces brightly made up, funny blonde mop-like wigs on their heads, ran by. One of them slowed when she caught sight of Carly Beth's mask. She uttered a soft gasp, then hurried after her friend.
Oh, yeah, it's Halloween. It's not really a monster.
Did you see Chuck and Steve? Sabrina asked. I searched everywhere for them, she groaned. That's all I did tonight. I spent the whole night looking for everybody. You, Steve, and Chuck. How come we never got together? Carly Beth shrugged.
I saw them, she told her friend. A few minutes ago, back there.
She motioned with her head.
They're such scaredy cats.
Huh? Chuck and Steve? Sabrina's expression turned to surprise.
Yeah, they got one look at my mask and they took off,
Carly Beth told her, laughing.
They were screaming like babies.
Sabrina joined in the laughter. Oh, I do not believe it, she exclaimed. They always act so tough.
And I called after them, but they just kept running,
Carly Beth told her, grinning. Weird, Sabrina declared.
Yeah, weird.
Carly Beth agreed. Did they know it was you? Sabrina asked.
Carly Beth shrugged. I don't know. They took one look at me and they ran like rabbits.
They told me they're planning to scare you, Sabrina revealed. They were going to sneak up behind you and make scary noises or something. Carly Beth snickered.
It's hard to sneak up behind someone when you're running for your life.
Sabrina's house came into view. Carly Beth shifted the candy bag to her other hand. I got some good stuff, Sabrina said, peering into her bag as she walked. I had to get a lot. I have to share it with my cousin. She has cerebral palsy and she can't go trick-or-treating. She has the flu and couldn't trick-or-treat tonight.
That wasn't even like a joke. That was just like me adding something completely useless, which I've never done before.
I'm not sharing any of mine, Carly Beth said. Noah went out with his pals. He'll probably come home with a year's supply.
Mrs. Connolly gave cookies and popcorn again this year, Sabrina said. I'll just have to throw it all out. Mom won't let me eat anything that isn't wrapped. She's afraid some ghoul will put poison in it. I had to throw out a lot of good stuff last year. Sabrina knocked on her front door. A few seconds later, her mother opened it and the girls entered. That's some mask, Carly Beth, she said, studying it. How'd you girls do? Okay, I think. Well, just remember, I know, Mom, you're embarrassing me, Sabrina interrupted impatiently. Throw out everything that isn't wrapped, even the fruit, especially the fruit. We won't be having fruit in this house. Now go eat some Spam. As soon as Miss Mason had gone back to the den, the two girls turned over their bags and dumped all the candy onto the living room rug. Hey, look, a big Milky Way, Sabrina declared, pulling it out of the pile. My favorite.
I hate these,
Carly Beth said, holding up an enormous blue jawbreaker.
The last time I tried sucking on one of these, I cut my tongue to pieces.
She tossed it into Sabrina's pile. Thanks a bunch, Sabrina said sarcastically. She tugged off her mask and dropped it on the carpet. Her face was flushed. She shook out her black hair. There, that feels a lot better. How about I go slip into something more comfortable? I was kidding, I'm not, that's not me. Wow, that mask was... She raised her eyes to Carly Beth. Don't you want to take off your mask? You must be boiling inside it.
Yeah, good idea.
Carly Beth had actually forgotten she was wearing a mask. She reached up with both hands and tugged at the ears.
Ouch!
The mask didn't budge. She pulled it by the top of the head. Then she tried stretching it out and tugging it from the cheeks.
Ouch!
What's wrong? Sabrina asked, concentrating on sorting her candy into piles. Carly Beth didn't reply. She tried prying the mask off at the neck. Then she tugged it by the ears again. Carly Beth, what's wrong? Sabrina asked, looking up from her candy.
Help me! Carly Beth pleaded in a shrill, frightened voice. Please help me, the mask. It won't come off.
Hey-o, you don't know it, but I know it. I took a break right now. I didn't try to take a break, but the kitten decided it was kitten time. So she ate, and she woke up, and she pooped, and then I had to play with her until she fell back asleep. Which, I was doing that thing, you know, the internet video with,
the internet's video,
where the little kitten's on its back, and they scratch the stomach, and then when they stop scratching, the kitten, like, puts the arms out in the Y of YMCA kind of motion. It was doing that. It was adorable. So I'm done playing with the kitten and I'm back to Goosebumps. Chapter 21.
On her knees on the carpet, Sabrina glanced up from her piles of candy bars. Carly Beth, stop clowning around.
I'm not,
Carly Beth insisted, her voice shrill with panic. Aren't you tired of scaring people tonight? Sabrina demanded. She picked up a clear plastic bag of candy corn.
Wonder if Mom will let me keep this. It's wrapped, but is candy corn technically a fruit? I know the Native Americans invented it, but then does it have smallpox?
I'm not trying to scare you. I'm serious,
Carly Beth cried. She tugged at the ears of the mask but couldn't get a good grip. Sabrina tossed down the bag of candy corn and climbed to her feet. You really can't get the mask off? Carly Beth pulled hard on the chin.
Ouch,
she cried out in pain.
It's stuck to my skin or something. Help me.
Sabrina laughed. Kitten's meowing. It might be... Oh, it's kitten time again. Hold up.
All right. Sabrina laughed. We're going to look pretty stupid if we have to call the fire department to get you out of your mask. Carly Beth didn't find it funny. She gripped the top of the mask with both hands and pulled with all of her strength. The mask didn't budge. Sabrina's grin faded. She stepped over to her friend. You're not goofing, are you? You really are stuck. Carly Beth nodded.
Well, come on, she urged impatiently. Help me pull it off.
Sabrina grabbed the mask top. It's so warm, she exclaimed. You must be suffocating in there.
Just pull,
Carly Beth wailed. Sabrina pulled.
Ouch, not so hard, Carly Beth cried. It really hurts.
God damn, my throat hurts so bad. Sabrina pulled more gently, but the mask didn't budge. She lowered her hands to the cheeks and pulled.
Ouch, Carly Beth shrieked. It's really stuck to my face.
What's this thing made of? Sabrina asked, staring intently at the mask. It doesn't feel like rubber. It feels like skin.
I don't know what it's made of, and I don't care, Carly Beth grumbled. I just want it off. Maybe we should cut it off, you know, with scissors.
And wreck the mask? Sabrina asked.
I don't care,
Carly Beth exclaimed, tugging furiously on it.
I really don't. I just want out. If I don't get this thing off of me, I'm gonna freak out. I'm serious. I'll freak the fuck out. Freak out!
Sabrina put a calming hand on her friend's shoulders. Okay. One more try, then we'll cut it off. She narrowed her eyes as she examined the mask. I should be able to reach underneath it and pull it away, she said, thinking out loud. If I slip my hands up through the neck, I can stretch it out and then push it up.
Well, go ahead. Just hurry, Carly Beth pleaded.
But Sabrina didn't move. Her eyes grew wide and her mouth dropped open. As she studied the mask, she uttered a soft gasp of surprise.
Sabrina, what's the matter?
Carly Beth demanded. Sabrina didn't reply. Instead, she ran her fingers over Carly Beth's throat. Oh, like Edward grabbing Bella. No, don't bite her. Twilight!
I assume that's the theme from Twilight.
Twilight, having fun and being vampires. He's just a safeguard. He's not going to sexually abuse you so you can fall in love. Unlike teenage boys who just want to get in your area, Edward's a creepy old man.
Where the fuck was I?
Her astonished expression remained frozen on her face. She moved behind Carly Beth and ran her fingers along the back of Carly Beth's neck.
What is it? What is it? What's the matter?
Carly Beth demanded shrilly. Sabrina ran a hand back through her black hair, her forehead wrinkled in concentration. Carly Beth, she said finally, there's something very weird going on here.
What? What are you talking about?
Carly Beth demanded. There's no bottom to the mask.
Huh?
Carly Beth's hand shot up to her neck. She felt around frantically.
What do you mean?
There's no line, Sabrina told her in a trembling voice. There's no line between the mask and your skin. No place to slip my hand in.
But that's crazy,
Carly Beth cried. She moved her hands to her throat, pushing up the skin, feeling the bottom of the mask.
That's crazy, just crazy.
Sabrina raised her hands to her face, her features tight with terror.
That's crazy, crazy,
Carly Beth repeated in a high-pitched, frightened voice. But as her trembling fingers desperately explored her neck, Carly Beth realized that her friend was right. There was no longer a bottom to the mask, no place the mask ended, no opening between the mask and Carly Beth's skin. The mask had become her face. What an improvement. Chapter 22. Carly Beth's legs trembled as she made her way to the mirror in the front entryway, her hands still frantically searching her throat as she stepped up to the large rectangular wall mirror and brought her face close to the glass. No line, she cried. No mask line. Sabrina stood back a few feet.
Do I have to do that voice anymore? Wait, this isn't a choose your own adventure, is it? I don't want to do the voice anymore, but maybe I should just stop and do more tomorrow.
Ah, fuck it. The voice is so helpful.
No line, she cried. No mask line.
Sabrina stood a few feet back, her expression troubled. I don't understand it, she muttered, staring at Carly Beth's reflection. Carly Beth uttered a sharp gasp.
Those aren't my eyes, she screamed.
Huh? Sabrina stepped up beside her, still staring into the mirror.
Those aren't my eyes, Carly Beth wailed. My eyes don't look like that.
Try to calm down, Sabrina urged softly. Your eyes, they're not mine! Not mine!
Jesus. Carly Beth cried, ignoring her friend's plea for calm. Where are my eyes? Where am I? Where am I, Sabrina? This isn't me in here.
This is like the first time I ate mushrooms.
Carly Beth, please, calm down, Sabrina urged, but her voice came out choked and frightened. It isn't me, Carly Beth declared, gaping in open-mouthed horror at her reflection, her hands pressed tightly against the grotesquely wrinkled cheeks of the mask. It isn't me. Sabrina reached out to her friend, but Carly Beth pulled away. With a high-pitched wail, a cry of horror and despair, she flung herself through the hallway. She pulled open the front door, struggled with the lock, sobbing loudly. Carly Beth, stop. Come back. Ignoring Sabrina's pleas, Carly Beth plunged back into the darkness. The storm door slammed behind her. As she began to run, she could hear Sabrina's frantic cries from the doorway. Carly Beth, your coat! Come back! You will forget your coat! Ah, she's becoming just like her mom. The cycle continues. Ah, she's going to be like, don't eat fruit. It's not wrapped and stuff. And be a total bitch and not let her smoke weed in the house.
Carly Beth's sneakers thudded over the ground. She ran into the darkness beneath the trees, as if to hide, as if to keep her hideous face from view. She reached the sidewalk, turned right, and kept running. She had no idea where she was going. She only knew she had to run away from Sabrina, away from the mirror. She wanted to run away from herself, away from her face, the hideous face that stared back at her in the mirror with those frightening, unfamiliar eyes. Someone else's eyes. Someone else's eyes in her head. Only, it was no longer her head. It was an ugly green monster head that had attached itself to hers. Uttering another cry of panic, Carly Beth crossed the street and kept running. The dark trees, black against the starless night, swayed and shivered overhead. Houses whirred past a blur of orange light from their windows. Into the darkness she ran, breathing noisily through the ugly flat nose. She lowered her smooth green head against the wind and stared at the ground as she ran. But no matter where she turned her gaze, she saw the mask. She saw the face staring back at her, the ugly, puckered skin, the glowing orange eyes, the rows of jagged animal teeth. My face. High-pitched screams startled her thoughts. Carly Beth glanced up to see she had run into a group of trick-or-treaters. There were 6 or 7 of them, all turned towards her, screaming and pointing. She opened her mouth wide, revealing the sharp fangs, and growled at them, a deep animal growl. The growl made them grow silent. They stared hard at her, trying to decide if she was threatening them or only kidding.
What are you supposed to be?
A girl in a red and white ruffled clown costume called to her. Michelle Myers. I'm supposed to be me, but I'm not, Carly Beth thought bitterly. She ignored the question, lowering her head. Turning away from them, she started to run again. She could hear them laughing now. They were laughing in relief, she knew, glad she was leaving them. With a bitter sob, she turned the corner and kept running. Where am I going? What am I doing? Am I going to keep running forever? The questions roared through her mind. She stopped short when the party store came into view. Of course, she thought, the party store. The strange man in the cape, he will help me. He will know what to do. The man in the cape will know how to get this mask off. Feeling a surge of hope, Carly Beth jogged toward the store. But as she neared it, her hope dimmed as dark as the store window. Her hope dimmed as dark as... Okay, that makes sense, R.L. I'm not criticizing you. Through the glass, she could see that all the lights were out. The store was as dark as the night. It was closed.
Chapter 23.
As she stared into the darkened store, a wave of despair swept over Carly Beth. Her hands raised against the window. She pressed her head against the glass. It felt cool against her hot forehead, the mask's hot forehead. She closed her eyes. What do I do now? What am I going to do?
It's all a bad dream, she murmured out loud. A bad dream. I'm going to open my eyes and wake up.
She opened her eyes. She could see her eyes, her glowing orange eyes, reflected in the dark window glass. She could see her grotesque face staring darkly back at her.
No!
With a shudder that shook her entire body, Carly Beth slammed her fists against the window. Why didn't I wear my mother's duck costume? She asked herself angrily. Why was I so determined to be the scariest creature that ever roamed on Halloween? Why am I so determined to terrify Chuck and Steve? Why? Why?
Bye!
She swallowed hard. Now, I'm going to scare people for the rest of my life. As the bear thoughts rolled through her mind, Carly Beth suddenly became aware of movement inside the store. She saw a dark shadow roll over the floor. She heard footsteps. The door rattled, then opened a few inches. The store owner poked his head out. His eyes narrowed as they studied Carly Beth. I stayed late, he said quietly.
Did I have, like, a weird voice form before? I swear to God I had, like, a lisp.
I stayed late, he said, quietly. I expected to see her again. Carly Beth was startled by his calmness.
I can't get it off, she sputtered.
She tugged at the top of her head to demonstrate. I know, the man said. His expression didn't change. Come inside. He pushed the door open the rest of the way, then stepped back. Carly Beth hesitated, then walked quickly into the dark store. It was very warm inside. The owner turned on a single light above the front counter. He was no longer wearing the cape, Carly Beth saw. He wore black suit pants and a white dress shirt.
You knew I'd come back?
Carly Beth demanded shrilly. The raspy voice she had acquired inside the mask revealed both anger and confusion.
How did you know?
I didn't want to sell it to you, he replied, staring at the mask. He shook his head, frowning. You remember, don't you? You remember that I didn't want to sell it to you?
I remember,
Carly Beth replied impatiently.
Just help me take it off, okay? Help me.
He stared back at her. He didn't reply.
Help me take it off,
Carly Beth insisted, shouting.
I want you to take it off.
He sighed. I can't, he told her sadly. I can't take it off. I'm really sorry.
Chapter 24.
What do you mean?
Carly Beth stammered. The store owner didn't reply. He turned toward the back of the store and motioned for her to follow him.
Answer me,
Carly Beth shrieked.
Don't walk away. Answer me. What do you mean the mask can't be taken off?
She followed him into the back room, her heart pounding. He clicked on the light. Carly Beth blinked in the sudden brightness. The two long shelves of hideous masks came into focus. She saw a bare spot on the shelf where hers had stood. The grotesque masks all seemed to stare at her. She forced herself to look away from them.
Take this mask off, now!
She demanded, moving to block the store owner's path.
I can't remove it, he said softly, almost sadly.
Why not?
Carly Beth demanded. He lowered his voice.
Because it isn't a mask.
Carly Beth gaped at him. She opened her mouth, but no sound came out.
It isn't a mask, he told her. It's a real face.
Carly Beth suddenly felt dizzy. The floor tilted. The rows of ugly faces glared at her. All of the bulging, bloodshot yellow and green eyes seemed to be trained on her. She pressed her back against the wall and tried to steady herself. The store owner walked over to the display shelf and gestured toward the ugly, staring heads.
The unloved, he said sadly, his voice lowered to a whisper.
I don't understand,
Carly Beth managed to choke out.
These are not masks. They're faces, he explained. Real faces. I made them. I created them in my lab. Real faces.
But they're so ugly,
Carly Beth started.
Why?
They weren't ugly in the beginning, he interrupted, his voice bitter, his eyes angry. They were beautiful, and they were alive. But something went wrong. When they were taken out of the lab, they changed. My experiments, my poor heads, were a failure. But I had to keep them alive. I had to.
I don't believe it,
Carly Beth exclaimed breathlessly, raising her hands to the side of her face, her green, distorted face.
I don't believe any of it.
I don't know when the voice turned into that.
I'm telling the truth, the store owner continued, running a finger over one side of his narrow mustache. God, this guy's so John Waters and so awesome. Why aren't I John Waters?
I guess because I'm straight and big and fat and not feminine.
Damn it! His eyes burned into Carly Bess. I keep them here. I call them the unloved because no one will ever want to see them. Occasionally, someone wanders into the back room. You, for example. And one of my faces finds a new home.
No!
Carly Beth uttered a cry of protest, more an animal wail than a human cry. She stared at the gnarled, twisted faces on the shelf, the bulging heads, the open wounds, the animal fangs. Monsters. All monsters.
Take this off, she screamed, losing control. Take Take it off! Take it off!
God, that pissed off the dog who's trying to sleep.
Oh, RL. She began tearing frantically at her face, trying to pull it off, trying to rip it to pieces.
Take it off! Take it off!
He raised a hand to quiet her.
I'm so sorry. That face, it's your face now, he said without expression.
Ah. No, Carly Beth shrieked again in her new raspy voice. Take it off, now.
She tore at the face, but even in her anger and panic, she knew her actions were useless.
The face cannot be removed, the store owner told her, speaking softly.
Huh?
Carly Beth lowered her hand, staring at him.
What did you say?
I said there is only one way the face can be removed.
Oh, wait, sorry, the face can be removed. Whatever. And then she's like, huh? And he's like, what do you say? And he said, there's only one face can be removed. And then she's like,
yes.
Carly Beth felt a powerful chill running in her back, a chill of hope.
Yes, how? Tell me. She pleaded, please, tell me.
I cannot do it for you, he replied, frowning, but I can tell you how. However, if it ever again attaches itself to you or to another person, it will be forever.
How do I get it off? Tell me, Carly Beth begged. How do I get it off?
Chapter 25. The light flickered overhead. The rows of bloated, distorted faces continued to stare at Carly Beth. Monsters, she thought. It's a room full of monsters waiting to come alive. And now, I'm one of them. Now I'm a monster, too. The floorboards creaked as the store owner moved away from the display shelves and came up close to Carly Beth.
How do I get this off of me? She pleaded. Tell me. Show me. Now.
It can only be removed once, he repeated softly, and it can only be removed by a symbol of love.
She stared at him, waiting for him to continue. The silence filled the room, heavy silence.
I don't understand, Carly Beth stammered finally. You've got to help me. I don't understand you. Tell me something that makes sense. Help me.
I can say no more, he said, lowering his head, shutting his eyes, and wearily rubbing his eyelids with his fingers.
But what do you mean by a symbol of love?
Carly Beth demanded. She grabbed the front of his shirt with both hands.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
He made no attempt to remove her hands.
I can say no more, he repeated in a whisper.
No, she shouted. No, you have to help me. You just have to.
She could feel her rage explode, could feel herself bursting out of control, but she couldn't stop herself.
I want my face back,
she shrieked, pounding at his chest with both fists.
I want my face back. I want myself back.
She was screaming at the top of her lungs now, but she didn't care. The store owner backed away, motioning with both hands for her to be quiet. Then, suddenly, his eyes opened wide in fear. Carly Beth followed his gaze to display shelves.
Oh!
She uttered a startled cry of horror. She saw the rows of faces all begin to move. Bulging eyes blinked. Swollen tongues licked dry lips. Dark wounds began to pulsate. The heads were all bobbing, blinking, breathing.
Ooh, good alliteration, RL.
What? What's happening?
Carly Beth cried in a trembling whisper. You've awake. You've awakened them all, he cried, his expression as frightened as hers.
But,
run, he screamed, giving her a hard shove towards the doorway. Run!
Chapter 26.
Carly Beth hesitated. She turned back to stare at the heads bobbing on the shelves. Fat, dark lips began to move, making wet, sucking sounds. They sounded like the dad from Friday.
When he remember that? When he's like, oh no, cracklings or whatever.
God, that guy is in everything and plays the same character. You know, like, God, he has no range whatsoever.
He's on a Boondocks.
God damn, Boondocks is a good shot. Crooked fangs clicked up and down. Ugly, inhuman noses twitched and gasped air noisily. The heads, two long rows of them, throbbed to life. And the eyes, the blood-veined, bulging eyes, the green eyes, the sickly yellow eyes, the bright scarlet eyes. The cat's name is Scarlet. The disgusting eyeballs hanging by threads. They were all on her. Run! You've awakened them! The store owner screamed, his voice choked with fear. Run! Get away from here! Carly Beth wanted to run, but her legs wouldn't cooperate. Her knees felt wobbly and weak. She suddenly felt as if she weighed 1,000 pounds.
She totally did. Fatty!
Run! Run! The store owner repeated his frantic cry, but she couldn't take her eyes off the throbbing, twitching heads. Carly Beth gaped at the hideous scene, frozen in terror, feeling her legs turn to jello.
There should be a copyright symbol there, just like the band, you know, Green Jello used to be Green Jello, but whatever. RL's probably in with the Jello people, so he probably doesn't have to do the actual copyright or trademark symbol.
Feeling her breath catch in her throat, and as she watched, the heads rose up and floated into the air. Run! Hurry! Run! The store owner's voice seemed far away. The heads began to jabber in rumbling deep voices, drowning out his own frantic cries. They murmured excitedly, making only sounds, no words, like a chorus of frogs. Up, up, they floated as Carly Beth stared in silent horror. Run, run! Yes, she turned. She forced her legs to move, and with the burst of energy, she began to run. She ran through the dimly lit front room of the store. Her hands grabbed for the doorknob, and she pulled open the door. A second later, she was out on the sidewalk, running through the darkness. Her sneakers thudded loudly on the pavement. She felt a shock of cold air against her hot face, her hot green face, her monster face, the monster face she could not remove. She crossed the street and kept running. What was that sound, that deep gurgling sound, that low murmur that seemed to be following her? Following her? Oh no. Oh no! Carly Beth cried out as she glanced back and saw the gruesome heads flying after her. A ghoulish parade. I imagine that this whole situation is like in Mario 2, when you grab the keys and those little masks would fly off the wall, and then you'd throw away the keys and they wouldn't follow you. Also, I beat Mario 2 without getting hit, so I don't want to brag. Well, I used warps in that way, but I have beat it all the way through, you know, without warps, no problem. But I can beat it in a couple minutes. I can beat Mario 3 in like 13 minutes without being hit too. What up? Now who has skills? Me. A ghoulish parade. They flew in a single file, one long chain after throbbing, jabbering heads of whatever. Their eyes glowed brightly as car headlights, halogen lights, and they were all trained on Carly Beth, choking with fear. Carly Beth stumbled over the curb. Her arm shot forward as she struggled to regain her balance. Her legs wanted to collapse, but she forced them to move again. Bent into the wind, she ran, past dark houses and empty lots. It must be late, she realized. It must be very late. Too late. The words flashed into her mind. Too late for me. The hideous, glowing heads flew after, getting closer, closer. The rumbling of the animal murmurs grew louder in her ear until the frightening sounds seemed to surround her.
What's in the room? Yeah, that was the, what's in the news, Robin? That was the Howard Stern reference that Penn Jillette does? No? No? But I screwed it up, so...
Whatever. The wind roared, gusting hard, as if deliberately pushing her back. The murmuring heads floated closer. I'm running through a dark nightmare, she thought. I may run forever. Too late. Too late for me. Or was it? An idea formed its way through her nightmarish panic. As she ran, her arms thrashed the air in front of her, as if reaching for safety. Her mind struggled for a solution, an escape, a symbol of love. She heard the store owner's words over the rumble of ugly voices behind her. A symbol of love. That's what it would take to get rid of the monster head that became her own. Would it also stop the throbbing, glowing heads that pursued her? Would it send the faces of the unloved back to where they came from? Gasping loudly for breath, Carly Beth turned the corner and kept running. Glancing back, she could see her chattering pursuers turn too. Where am I? She wondered, turning her eyes to the houses she was passing. She had been too frightened to care where she ran, but now Carly Beth had an idea, a desperate idea. And she had to get there before the gruesome parade of heads caught up with her. She had a symbol of love. It was her head, the plaster of Paris head her mother had sculpted of her. Carly Beth remembered her mother, remembered asking her mother why she sculpted it. And her mother replied, "Because I love you." Maybe it could save her. Maybe it could help her out of this nightmare. But where was it? She had tossed it aside. She had let it fall behind a hedge. She had left it in someone's yard. And now she was back on the block. She recognized the street. She recognized the houses. That's coincidental, Carly Beth, Mr. R.L. Stein, whatever your name is.
This is where she had met up with Chuck and Steve. This is where she had sent them running off in terror. But where was the house? Where was the hedge? Her eyes darting frantically from yard to 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 yard behind her. She saw the heads and swarmed together like buzzing bees. They had bunched together, grinning now, grinning hate hideously. Wet grins as they prepared to close in on her, forming together like a giant Megazord. I've got to find the head, Carly Beth told herself, struggling to breathe, struggling to keep her aching legs moving. I've got to find my head. The rumbling, jabbering voices grew louder. The head swarmed closer. Where? 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 She screamed aloud, and then she saw the tall hedge across the street, the yard across the street, the head, the beautiful head. She had let it fall behind that hedge. Could she get to it before the ugly head swarmed over her? Yes. Sucking in a deep breath of air, her arms reached out desperately in front of her. She turned and ran across the street and dove behind the hedge. Just a heads up to all my listeners, you can't just run across streets. You have to look both ways. It's just safety. Just common knowledge. Onto her hands and knees, her chest heaving, her breath rasping, her head pounding, she reached for the head, and it was gone. Chapter 27, gone. The head was gone. My last chance, Carly Beth thought, searching blindly, her hand thrashing frantically through the bottom of the hedge. Gone. Too late for me. Still on her knees, she turned to face her ghoulish pursuers. The heads, jammering their mindless sounds, rose up in front of her, forming a wall. Carly Beth started to her feet. The throbbing wall of monster heads inched closer. She turned, searching for an escape, and saw it. Saw her head. Saw the plaster of Paris head staring up at her from between two upraised roots on the big tree near the driveway. The wind must have blown it over there, she realized. Really? You didn't notice it? Like, a photo? RL, come on. You can't just milk more chapters out of this, you know? As the ugly heads bobbed closer, she dove for the tree and grabbed the head with both hands. With a cry of triumph, she turned the sculpted face towards the jammering heads and raised it high. Go away! Go away! Carly Beth screamed, holding the head up so they could all see it. This is a symbol of love. This is a symbol of love. Go away. The heads bobbed together. The glowing eyes stared at the sculpted head. They murmured excitedly. Wet faces formed on their distorted lips, and also wet smiles formed on their distorted lips. Go away. Go away. Carly Beth heard them laugh. Low, scornful laughter. Then they moved quickly, surrounding her, eager to swallow her up. Chapter 28. Too late for me. The words repeated in Carly Beth's mind. Her idea had failed. The head swarmed around her, drooled over her, eyes bulging gleefully in triumph. Their rumbling murmurs became a roar. She felt herself being swallowed up in their foul-smelling heat. Without thinking, she lowered the sculpted head and pulled it down hard over her hideous monster head. To her surprise, it slid over like a mask. I'm wearing my own face like a mask, she thought bitterly. As she pulled it over her, darkness descended. There were no eye holes. She couldn't see out. She couldn't hear. What will the gruesome heads do to me? She wondered, alone with her fear. Will I become one of the unloved now? Will I end up on display on a shelf along with them? Surrounded by the tight, silent darkness, Carly Beth waited and waited. She could feel the blood pulsing at her temples. She could feel the throb of fear in her chest, the ache of her dry throat. What are they going to do? What are they doing? She couldn't bear being alone, shut in with her fear, surrounded by silence in the dark. With a hard tug, she pulled off the sculpted head. The gruesome heads were gone, vanished. Carly Beth stared straight ahead in disbelief. Then her eyes darted around the shadowy lawn. She searched the trees and shrubs. She squinted into the dark spaces between the houses. Gone. They were gone. For a long moment, Carly Beth sat in the cold, wet grass, the sculpted head on her lap, breathing hard, staring across the silent, empty front yards. Soon, her breathing returned to normal. She climbed to her feet. The wind had gentled. The pale half-moon slipped out from behind the dark clouds that had covered it. Carly Beth felt something flap against her throat. Startled, she reached up and felt the bottom of the mask. The bottom of the mask, yes! There was a gap between the mask and her neck. Hey! She cried aloud, setting the sculpted head down gently at her feet. She raised both hands to the bottom of the mask and pulled it up. The mask came off easily.
Stunned, she lowered it and held it in front of her. She folded it up, then unfolded it. The orange eyes that had glowed like fire had faded. The pointed animal fangs had become rubbery and limp. "You're just a mask," she cried out loud. "Just a mask again," laughing gleefully. She tossed it up in the air and caught it. "It can be removed only once," the store owner had told her. "Only once, by a symbol of love. Well, I've done it," Carly Beth told herself happily. "I've removed it. And don't worry, I'll never put it on again. Never!" Woo! She suddenly felt exhausted. "I've got to get home," she told herself. "It's probably close to midnight. Most of the houses were dark. There were no cars moving on the streets. The trick-or-treaters had all gone home." Carly Beth bent to pick up the sculpted head. Then, carrying the mask and the plaster head, she began walking quickly towards her house. Halfway up the driveway, she stopped. She reached up and examined her face with one hand. "Do I have my old face back?" she wondered. She rubbed her cheeks, then ran her fingers over her nose. "Is it my old face? Do I look like me?" She couldn't tell just by touching. "I've got to get to a mirror," she exclaimed out loud. Desperate to see if her face had returned to normal, she ran up to her front door and rang the bell. After a few seconds, the door swung open and Noah appeared. He pushed open the storm door. Then he raised his eyes to her face and started to scream, "Take off that mask! Take it off! You're so ugly!" That's not the end. That's not the end. One more chapter. I'm doing some stretches. I gotta get this done. Woo! All right, let's do this, Dune.
Chapter 29. The final chapter. "No!" Carly Beth cried in horror. "The mask must have changed her face," she realized. "No! Oh, no!" She pushed past her brother, tossed down the head and the mask, and ran to the hallway mirror. Her face stared back at her. Perfectly normal. Her old face. Her good old face. Her dark brown eyes, her broad forehead, her snip of a nose, which she had always wished was longer. "I'll never complain about my nose again," she thought happily. Her face was normal again, all normal. As she stared at herself, she could hear Noah laughing at the doorway. She spun around angrily. "Noah, how could you?" He laughed harder. "It was a joke. I can't believe you fell for it." "It was no joke to me," Carly Beth exclaimed angrily. Her mother appeared at the end of the hall. "Carly Beth, where have you been? I expected you back an hour ago." "Sorry, Mom," Carly Beth replied, grinning. "I'm so happy I may never stop grinning," she thought. "It's sort of a long story," she told her mother. "Sort of a long, weird story. What a long, strange trip it's been." "But you're okay," Miss Caldwell's eyes narrowed as she studied her daughter. "Yeah, I'm okay," Carly Beth said. "Come into the kitchen, Miss Caldwell instructor. I have some nice hot cider for you." Carly Beth obediently followed her mother into the kitchen. The kitchen was warm and bright. The sweet cider aroma filled the room. Carly Beth had never been so glad to be home in all of her life. She hugged her mother, then took a seat at the counter. "Why didn't you wear your duck costume?" Mrs. Caldwell asked, pouring out a cup of steaming cider. "Where have you been? Why weren't you with Sabrina? Sabrina's called twice already, wondering what happened to you." "Well," Carly Beth began, "it's sort of a long story, Mom." "I'm not going anywhere," her mother said, setting the cup of cider down in front of Carly Beth. She leaned against the counter, resting her chin in one hand. "Go ahead. Talk." "Well," Carly Beth hesitated, "everything's fine now, Mom. Perfectly fine, but..." Before she could say another word, Noah burst into the room.
"Hey, Carly Beth," he called in a deep, raspy voice. "Look at me. Do I look scary in your mask?"
The end. Also, I screwed up the last line. It was,
"How do I look in your mask?"
The end for reals. Well, I think that's the least amount of commentary I've ever done in an episode of Dune Reads Goosebumps, aside from the first two or so. You know, I'll keep them coming. I actually already have a Choose Your Own Adventure recorded. I'll probably do a few more of those. I know that Nikki Nikki Season or Sleazin is going to be recording another one soon, which is Piano Lessons Can Be Murder. We might get Death Metal Dawn to record one coming up, and... you know, we'll keep them coming out, and, you know,
you know, I'm sorry, I guess, that I've been doing, you know, I've been sick and busy, so, you know, don't judge me, you know, whatever. I do this for free. I'm a big proponent of the whole art must be free movement. That's not really a movement by any means, but, you know, whatever. So, I guess this is the old Dune going, you know, I'm gonna go play with the kitten. So, fuck y'all and stay spooky, bitches.